Can we hear me back there? We send metta to all living beings. What is the definition of a living being? Is it a being that has a mind? Does a tree have a mind? Oh, metta puolo shin tatua alongo metta puaparetia. Tato vasoro pale sei pama. Now we will start the question and answer session. And Sayadaw will not relate to questions that deal with political issues or political religious issues. Yes? Now, we send metta to all living beings. What is the definition of a living being? Is it a being that has a mind? Does a tree have a mind? O metta puolo shin tatua ko metta puaparipia. O tatua soro pale sei vinyan shima tatua kore. Tipin charo sei shigala. A tree has no mind. What's the other? Microphone. Waiting. A tree has no mind. And because there is no mind, one cannot call a tree a living being. So when we talk of all living beings, cultivating metta to all beings, so trees or mountains are not included. Okay. How do animals differ from humans? Lune tatua pelo qua java da repia. Ah, yeah, da lesson. So animals, they do eat, they engage in eating, they sleep, and they engage in sexual activities. That's kind of the activities that animals engage in, and these beings are called animals. Human beings, they can differentiate between what is wholesome, what is unwholesome. They engage in what is unwholesome. They can refrain from unwholesome deeds. So they have this knowledge. And what we call animals are beings that cannot differentiate between what is wholesome and what is unwholesome. So they do engage in unwholesome actions. And as Syed already said, like they eat, they sleep, and engage in sexual activities. And being able to differentiate between what is wholesome and unwholesome, and then to engage in what is wholesome and to refrain from doing what is unwholesome, these we call humans. Do you understand? Next one. What's the purpose of human life? Lubowa, by you, Chitalipia. So ask yourself. So what is your purpose in life? So to put it very generally, the purpose of human beings to have a human life is to attain a state of happiness and peace. So humans, they do whatever they think that will provide them happiness and peace. All their activities are geared towards happiness and peace. So every person's purpose is somehow to live in happiness and peace. Correct? Is it right? So everybody engages in activities to try to feel happy and well in body and mind, engages in activities to be happy with the food they have, the clothing they have, or material things, so with that they can be happy and live at ease, in peace. And those, let's say, on a higher level, they aspire to the happiness and peace of Nibbana. Their purpose is to become fully liberated. The next one. There is no doubt about the benefit of metta. However, it is a dilemma, for example, an outbreak of bird flu, killing of the chicken is necessary to control the outbreak. What is the Buddhist standpoint? to protect this human life for higher enlightenment or to be infected with bird flu. So in whatever actions we engage, very important is our cetana, our intention. And the Buddha said that it is this cetana which is important. So for example, a doctor, when he sees a patient who is sick, so the doctor has a metta-infused mind and wants to treat the patient so that the patient recovers from the sickness. So, for example, when this is the doctor. So, for example, if a doctor gives antibiotics to the patient, he does not give it with the, or he should not give it with the intention to kill the bugs, but he gives it to the patient with the intention, with the cetana, that the patient recovers from the sickness and gets healthy again. So, an example, some robbers come and are threatening a person. This happened a long time ago, the time of the Buddha, in the time of Rajagaha, and King Bimbisara was told that this group of robbers have come and that they are threatening people. So they asked King Bimbisara, what should they do? And King Bimbisara said, so he just gave the order, make the town free from danger. So King Bimbisara, he was a Sotapanna, having reached the first stage of enlightenment. So he had no, or in his mind there was no wish, no intention to harm others. The meaning. So when King Bimbisara said, free the town from danger, actually that meant kill the robbers. So the king gave the order to make the town free from danger. Well, he had no intention or to give the order to kill the robbers, but the person whom he gave the order, he understood it as go and kill the robbers. And so he went and killed them. Another example is of a couple. He was a hunter and his wife was a sotapanna. In the morning, the husband prepared to go out chasing animals. The wife, who was a sotapanna, she prepared rice for him to take along to eat during the day. She also prepared the stick and the knife that the husband was going to take with him. She was accused.
Some people accused.
To me, I'll be all right. Some other people then accused this wife, who was a sotapanna, because she was preparing the knife, the arrow, the sticks, that she accused her of killing beings. And so then this news came to the Buddha. And the Buddha touched some poison. So the Buddha touched some poison, but nothing happened to his hand. There was no wound, nothing. So, you know, could be maybe some poison from an ant, and so if you touch that, then nothing happens on your hand, on your skin. Mm-hmm. But if one had a wound and then would touch that poison, then the poison would enter into the body, into one's blood. So only when there is the wish, the desire, the chetana to kill a living being, then it's a fault. But without the desire to kill a living being, there is no fault. So the wife, the Sotapanna, she just prepared these things. She gave it to her husband, who took these things into the forest. So while preparing these things, there was no wish or intention to kill any living beings in her. And so coming back to the doctor, so there is no desire, no intention for killing the bugs, but there is just this wholesome intention to cure his or her patient, to make the patient healthy again. The next one. If we practice vipassana bhavana diligently, do all meditators have capability to attain sotapanna, first stage of enlightenment? Or does it depend on individual kamma and paramis? Vipassana bhavana chocho sasa ato loishin yogidain yogidain totatan pimalapya Nomahin gan parami parma yadala. If one practices vipassana meditation diligently, one can attain sotapanna, every yogi. Gan parami. So kamma or the paramis, that's not the important thing. However, one cannot say how long it will take. So how many days it will take, or how many lives it will take. One day. So if you practice diligently, one day you will attain it. So, in one of his discourses, the Buddha said, if one practices this satipatthana, vipassana practice, then one can attain it in this life. Mm-hmm. So if one does not attain Sotapanna now, one can attain it shortly before death. And if one does not reach it before death, but through one's practice, one will be reborn in the Deva realm, and one will attain Sotapanna in the Deva realm. So that's why if you practice it, then you will reach it, you will reach Sotapanna one day. Next question. In regards to Sayadaw's explanation on jhana in the Dhamma talk, what about arupa jhana? Arupa jhana jhana. Sayadaw will talk about the arupa jhana next year. So come back next year, everybody. So in order to reach the arupa jhana, one cannot attain them with the practice of metta meditation. One cannot attain them with the practice of the four Brahma Viharas. So for attaining the arupa jhanas, there are the special objects to reach the arupa jhanas. So for these four arupa jhanas, they have their respective objects. So, for example, to reach the first arupa jhana, one's object is like this infinity of space, like there is no limit to the sky. It's this infinity of space. And so with that, one reaches the first arupa jhana, infinity of space. So next year, Sayadaw will talk about it. Next one. What is the difference between the terms samadhi and jhana? Samadhi is jhana, pelo kwa chaba dalipya. So these two words, samadhi and jhana, they are just two different words which mean basically the same thing. Next, how can we distinguish excess concentration and jhana?
Upasara.
So excess concentration, in Pali it's upacara, samadhi, this is near to the absorption concentration, apana samadhi, and like it's in the neighborhood of the jhana. So, for example, it's like the borderline between two countries. So, where two countries meet, that's the borderline between these countries. And so if you cross the borderline, then you get into the other country. So the upacara jhana, the access concentration, is like the borderline, and the apana jhana, the absorption, that's when you are in the other country. Okay. Next one. How many sayadaws are there in Burma, approximately? And what does a monk have to do to become a sayadaw? Miyama Bhima. Siyaro bene papishivadale. I don't know. So in Burma there are altogether about 500,000 monks. Among these monks, how many of them are sayadaws? Sayado doesn't know. So to become a sayado, a monk needs to fulfill two criteria. The first criteria is old age. And the second criteria is to be fulfilled with the qualities of sila, samadhi, and panya. So to be fulfilled with virtue, concentration or meditation, and wisdom. So only old age does not make one a sayadaw, or only to be endowed with these three qualities of sila, samadhi, panya does not make one a sayadaw, only when these two criteria are fulfilled. Next one. I would like to know why metta is practiced and esteemed so much more than the other Brahma Viharas in the Theravada tradition. The metta, metta bhavana, the Theravada Buddha Padama, Bopiro, Atote, Chenni, Yama, So, Tomba, Debiro, Amato, Chabu, Adababilole.
Metta
If one practices metta meditation, then it's like the other three Brahma-viharas are somehow contained. So then when one practices these other three Brahma-viharas, it's not so difficult anymore. One can do them. Some days ago in his Dhamma talk, Sayadaw mentioned this story about the three grandfathers, Bhumitta, Bodhana, and Bhauanain. And you remember that Bhumitta, when he went inside the house, the other two also went, because the other two qualities are also contained in metta. And likewise, when one engages in the practice of metta meditation, so then afterwards it's not difficult anymore to cultivate the other three Brahma viharas. Then one can quite easily do them. And then, could Sayadaw talk a little bit about equanimity, upekkha, please? How to cultivate it? Can it support the metta practice? Is metta and upekkha, are metta and upekkha mutually exclusive? Can they arise, can they be in the mind together? If they are mutually exclusive, how can the Buddha have them both? Upekkha, ajahn, pelo puayamale, upekkha, metta bhavana adve, pelo ajo upedale, metta ne upekkha, seitema tapiaine, bonaindala, miesvapia metaleshide, upekaleshide, tapi me tapiaine, mapiin velo, namio, napa, shinaindale. Upeka, velo puaya malepia. The other day, Sayadaw mentioned how to cultivate upekkha, taking the phrase sabbe sattā kammasakkhā, sabbe sattā kammasakkhā. All beings are the owner of their actions. Metta ne upekkha seitema tapiaine bonaindala. Metta and upekkha cannot arise together in the mind, cannot arise together in the mind at the same time. And miesva piado charo metta ne piezo ne upekkha ne piezo ne tapi me tapi aine ma pien pelo nale amale so it's true that the Buddha has perfected as well both metta and upekkha. He's fully endowed with these qualities, but still these two qualities cannot arise in the mind together at the same time. When metta arises in the mind, when metta is present at the mind, in the mind, then at that moment there cannot be at the same time upekkha. And when upekkha is present in the mind, then at the same time there cannot be metta. But yes, the Buddha is completely endowed with these four Brahma Viharas. But although he is endowed with these four qualities, but it doesn't mean that they are always present at the same time. Last one. Could Sayadaw please give brief instructions to practice the other Brahma Viharas so we can continue by ourselves? Instructions and reflections that are helpful to generate those mental states, in particular upekkha. The Jane Byamaso Dea Domba Karuna Murita Upekkha Velo Puayamale Totole Piopeba. So for the Karuna practice, compassion, we take the phrase like Sabbe Sattha Dukkhamucchantu. Sabbe Sattha Dukkhamucchantu. May all beings be free from suffering. And the object for the Karuna practice are beings who are suffering, beings who are in distress. So, for example, if a person gets sick with cancer, so then one wishes this person to be free from the sickness, from the cancer. So may this sickness disappear. May this sickness disappear. Mudita. And for the mudita practice, it's sabbe sattha yatha lada sampatito mavikacchantu. And for the mudita practice, one takes person beings who are successful, who are happy, who are doing well. You know, for example, a person like Chamyemyain Sayadaw. So you may develop mudita for Sayadaw by wishing him, may Sayadaw become more powerful, may Sayadaw become more powerful. Or
wishing.
Or wish that the new building be quickly finished. So one takes the well-being or the happiness, the joy of another person, of another being, one regards that and wishes that this joy, this happiness, the well-being does not disappear. One wishes that this joy, happiness, well-being further increases. And then for the upekkha practice, it's the phrase sabbe sattā kammasakkhā, all beings are the heirs of their actions. Okay. So when we cultivate metta, loving kindness, we encompass, or we can do it for all beings, all living beings, wishing them to be happy, well, healthy, and so on. But Karuna, Karuna Mudita Alomea. But when we engage in the Karuna practice, we develop it for beings who are suffering, who are in distress. So one cannot do it for all living beings. And in the Mudita practice, we do it, our objects are people, beings who do well, who are happy, who are prosperous, and so on. So also this practice is not done with all beings. And with the metta practice, actually the aspects of karuna and mudita are also included. That's why here in Myanmar, this practice of metta meditation is often practiced. Gombe. The remaining questions, which deal mostly with the practice of metta meditation, they will be answered tomorrow during the closing ceremony. Sayadaw is happy about all the questions you have put forth. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the answers you have been given to your questions, did you understand them? Are you satisfied with them? Yeah.